Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einem neuen Glückfinder-Interview. Hier erzählen Menschen, wie sie ihr persönliches Glück gefunden oder wiedergefunden haben. Lassen Sie sich inspirieren und ermutigen, Ihr eigenes Glück zu entdecken oder Ihre Berufung zu finden und zu leben. Weiterführende Informationen über das Glückfinder-Projekt und meine Interviewpartner finden Sie unter www.glückfinder.com. Und nun wünsche ich Ihnen viel Spaß beim Zuhören. Ihr Andreas Gregori. Hello and a very warm welcome to the first Happiness Finder interview. Today my guest is Pete Martin. Hi, Pete.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you that you take time to talk with me and our audience about your way to happiness. Pete wrote a book. It's called Revolutions, Wandering and Wandering. On a sabbatical year, he cycled a couple of of days around the world.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for inviting me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here on the podcast. So yeah, the book is out and published. Yeah, there's some cycling, there's some traveling, there's some life experience in the book.
Okay. And was it always your dream to cycle around the world, or was there maybe a situation when you decided go for a ride? Okay. Or you lived a normal life. Yeah. So you're from England?
So I'm from England, born in Liverpool, born and bred in Liverpool. And so really the book starts with a normal life. Mm-hmm. Back in Cheshire in the UK, normal life, successful life as you would call it, or we used to call it. Mm-hmm. Married, two beautiful daughters, big house, family holidays, nice cars. And within a space of about 2 years, everything collapsed. Everything fell apart. So my marriage collapsed. Even though I was kind of through all this time, an innocent bystander almost, mm-hmm. everything collapsed. So my marriage collapsed. My eldest daughter blamed me. So our relationship fell apart. I had health issues mm-hmm. in this time, 3 knee surgeries, shoulder mm-hmm. surgery. Things were going on around me that I just couldn't control. So my mother broke her leg. My sister-in-law died of cancer. My sister had a partial hysterectomy before she was 40. A good friend of mine died in a cycling accident. You name it, it was happening. My money disappeared in the divorce, even though my daughters were living with me. I had to pay a small fortune to my ex-wife. And so to cut a long story short, in summary, everything I had just collapsed, which meant I collapsed. There's only so much you can take. So I ended up in hospital with extreme exhaustion. I was stressed and depressed. So that's how my life went at this point. Amazingly, through it all, this time I met Catherine, my soulmate, who's now my wife, and somehow I kept my job. But in a job that was built on a family life, it almost became hollow. Mm-hmm. I wondered what I was doing there anymore. So in the end, the job went too. I ended up negotiating a package to get out. And that's really where the book starts, is all this stuff has happened. Everything I've had and could rely on has gone. And so I'm in Berlin, of places, celebrating this freedom. But the freedom doesn't feel like I'm free. This life I've led was what I thought was a normal life. It doesn't exist anymore. So what do I do next? And to be honest, I was tired and scared.
Did you ever think about in which direction should I go? Is it maybe the end?
Is
it
so absolutely. This is the key. And you know, I should have been happy with this freedom, but I didn't have a voice. I guess my inner voice was just quiet and needed some peace and quiet. And
take a look at you and think,
absolutely. And so I had two things. One, I knew I wanted to be in Germany with Catherine, and I knew I couldn't get the same job again because I had a non-compete for 1 year. And that's with the the title of the book, The Sabbatical Year, comes in. So I knew I couldn't get the same type of job, but then I didn't know what to do. So I did the most simplest of things. I couldn't think of what else to do. So that's where the cycling came in. So never cycled since I was 10 years old. Yeah, absolutely.
Ever cycling?
Yeah, never cycled since I was 10 years old. I'd done some rehab on my knee, cycling in the gym. And it just seemed that, you know, something real and tangible. So my first journey was across the UK, coast to coast in England. Only a kind of 3-day ride, nothing difficult, but the biggest journey probably of my life. Graduated from there to come into Germany and to cycle the Main, the Moselle, the Austrian Danube, and then a big journey, the length of the Rhine. Mm-hmm. And these were real, you know, it was healing, it was therapeutic, it was fresh air. I could breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, I was out of the human race. I was out of the rat race. But it felt good.
Just one question. Sure. Why cycle? You sit in Berlin. Yes, maybe you could go for a walk. Yeah, maybe you could start, don't know, painting pictures. Don't know.
Good question. And I'm not sure I know the answer. It was the right thing to do at the right time. So I'd done some cycling for the rehab on my knee. Mm-hmm. Walking wasn't good for my knee. So mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be good physically for me. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't do any damage and mm-hmm. it would get me fit again. I needed to be outside. I needed the fresh air and I needed the peace and quiet. You know, when you're stuck in these bad times, they never seem to end. And it's your monkey mind just rattles and rattles and rattles. Mm-hmm. Somehow the cycling was just peaceful. I was at ease and it was fun. So that's what I did. At the same time, I was learning to live, I think. So out there alone and on the edge of a river, alongside a river, you know, what else could I do? What was I missing out on in these years of work and family life? I realized I hadn't really lived. Mm-hmm. So that became, you know, I then decided to have some fun, to enjoy mm-hmm. it. And there was nothing else I could do apart from enjoy life anymore. Mm-hmm. So that led to going, you know, to learning to meditate, mm-hmm. to learning to motorcycle, as you do. I went up to Scotland, though, which wasn't a good idea because of the bad weather. I took a road trip with my youngest daughter across the US. Kath and I went to the Caribbean. You know, I was learning, really learning life again. I was learning to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And along these journeys and this kind of life experience, in the bad times, a coach and a counselor had encouraged me to journal, which meant getting all the frustrations mm-hmm. out, and then you can deal with it. You can throw it in the bin, you can attack it, you can do what you like. So I'd continue to journal, and I realized the journals were capturing these huge changes. They were also capturing some incredible journeys. Mm. So because I could, I then went to India, spent some time in India, cycled around Sri Lanka, and then did an Ayurveda mm-hmm. retreat in mm-hmm. the Indian mountains. Again, all captured in these journals. And, you know, the Ayurveda was incredible. It was, and as we said before, when we were talking before this interview, it's a time when you can learn to just be, which is probably the one of the most difficult things I've ever experienced.
So, yeah, doesn't sound so just yeah, to yeah, be. Yeah. It sounds like the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, and it was very difficult. I think like the cycling was being, and then you graduate to go and do yoga and meditation mm-hmm. and learn to be who you are. So yeah, very intense experiences and not what I'd expected to happen when I was in Berlin afraid. And my journeys then continued. I then at the end of this first year of freedom, did a trip completely around the world. So I circumnavigated the world. Left Frankfurt, no cycling this time. I left Frankfurt by train mm-hmm. to eventually go to Moscow, Trans-Siberia Railway across Russia, short stop in Lake Baikal, minus 20 degrees, fully frozen, culminating across the Pacific Ocean on a container ship as the only passenger, train again across the US, boat across the Atlantic, finally back to Frankfurt by train. And so, again, all captured in the journal, and some incredible times that I didn't expect to have. And that really is the story of the book. And, you know, when you journey they say a journey on the outside is also a journey on the inside.
Mm.
And the changes I went through are captured in the book, mm-hmm. as well as some incredible places.
Yeah. What has your family thought about you when you decided to do these trips? They all said, yes, good idea, Pete.
Not quite, as you'd expect, not quite. Most people, with a few friends, what's interesting, when you go through the bad times, there's people you think you can rely on and you cannot, mm-hmm. and you find other people you can. And it was these people, and so that my social kind of structure kind of collapsed, but then stronger, better relationships developed, some good friends, my wife, and they were so supportive of the things I needed to do. My family, for example, my mother still thinks I'm crazy to this day, having done these journeys. And, you know, just back from 3 months in in Africa, she still thinks I'm crazy. But that gives me a good sign that I must be doing something right. I think is it Mark Twain, when you're on the side of the masses, you must, you know, it's time to stop and think.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. And what is the thing? You talked a lot to people in all the countries, mm-hmm. and you have a lot of time with yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
What is this thing you learned, you understand?
So I don't think there's one big answer. Mm. So, you know, for the meaning of life, then you need to find a better guru than me to give you these answers. But I can give you some small things. And quite often in life, it's little things that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So the first lesson I learned is, you know, I used to think writing a book was for writers. I used to think these crazy journeys were for crazy people. Mm-hmm. And maybe I am crazy, but all of us can do these things. You know, mm-hmm. it's when I, particularly the around the world trip, there was some planning. Mm-hmm. And Catherine tells me I spent days and weeks working out how to get which ship from which country to which country and what mm-hmm. days they operate. I don't remember doing any planning. It just seemed to work. So that's the first thing. We can do the things we want to do. Everything is possible.
If the wish is big enough.
The wish is big
enough. The vision.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I found particularly the places where people said you shouldn't go to, or the places I was most worried about. So for example, Russia or Japan. Oh, they don't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
The people were the warmest. Japan, I was so worried, I don't speak Japanese. But every train is in English signs. I basically didn't have any guides at all. So when I was in India and in Russia, I had a guide to help me in certain places. In Japan, most of it I did myself. And it was wonderful. There was never a problem. And the people I did meet were wonderful. The people I struggle with were the people in the US and English people abroad.
Mm. So you have had a picture of the country where you go and your thought was not so good?
Absolutely.
And what do you realize when you were there? It is much better than Absolutely. My thoughts.
And most people are basically the same as I am. They want some social interaction. They want to chat. They're proud of where they're from. They want to show their city or their country off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there to see the city. I'm there to learn and take this stuff in. You know, one of the big lessons, which really, I said just back from Africa, is not to judge. We have all these preconceptions of different countries and different people, and it couldn't be further from the truth.
Mm.
And so learning that not to judge, just to be and to observe and to enjoy is basically my lesson of these travels.
When you are traveling, maybe along the River Rhine, what was in your mind? Nothing?
That's what cycling did for me, was to take out this monkey mind, this chatter, and almost put it to one side. Cycling in the end became a meditation almost. Okay, there's the horrible days uphill or in the rain or the wind in Holland, not pleasant days. But when there's, you know, a nice breeze, the sunshine, beautiful scenery, my mind shut off like a good meditation. And those were the best days. And I think without the cycling, without the Ayurveda, again, learning just to be, I wouldn't have enjoyed so much the trip across the Pacific Ocean in a container ship as the only passenger, nobody to talk to all day. You know, yes, there's the crew and a wonderful crew, and you join them for dinner and for breakfast, but, you know, the 12 hours in between were my time. And it's the time where you can just relax and enjoy who you are and where you are. And every day, the ways were different. The sunrise was different. Mm. The sunset was different. It was heaven on earth.
Mm. Now, in the time before and after your journey, the world hasn't changed so much. The tree is still a tree, you know, but now it seems to be so as if you're looking now in another point of view.
Absolutely.
The direction of your view.
So there is one point of view, the tree is just a tree. And it was quite difficult from around the world trip. So Catherine met me in Paris and we did the last leg together to Frankfurt. It was quite strange in Frankfurt in that in the 80 days around the world, nothing had changed. The same people were at the same breakfast stall, the same train conductor was on the same train. But I'd had this huge experience around the world, but you're back and nothing's changed. But it had changed because the tree now was a bigger, brighter, better tree.
Mm-hmm.
I seemed to see things a different point of view. And I guess it relaxed. We relaxed so much more.
So now I knew that some of the listeners from the interview now maybe thought, okay, to get this, I need to travel around the world. Would you agree?
Yes and no. It's a good question. And I always get a yes and no answer. I think some people do and some people don't. And we are all different. It seems what I've learned over the last couple of years is I do benefit from the physical traveling. It seems to resonate with me. The physical movement allows me, my mind to develop, my inner being to develop. But that doesn't mean everybody should. A few people have read the book, say, wow, you've done the Trans-Siberia Railway. It means I don't have to go. Well, great. I'm glad to be of service. and if you don't need to go, that's great. Some people can do a meditation, a long meditation or shamanic meditation, and they can get the same lessons that I've got. It doesn't matter. We all grow our own way. And I guess I'm quite happy that I need the physical journey because I enjoy them.
If I met Pete Martin 10 years ago and I would said to him, hey, Pete, you will made a journey into your inner being and just be. And now you see the world with different eyes. Would you agree?
I would laugh, obviously. Yeah. I mean, it was just inconceivable I would be here right now, having done the things I've done. For me, the lesson for this is let life flow. You know, I wouldn't advise going through such bad times as I did to anybody, but sometimes they're there for a reason. And maybe it took me longer to get out of these because I needed to be in there longer to learn the lessons. I'm at the point where we are where we are. We're having this conversation right now because we should be. We get the right coaches at the right time. We read the right books at the right time. And we should just accept it.
Great.
And enjoy it.
And enjoy it. Yes.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
After your journey, you went to Africa.
Yeah. So
you talked about it. Yeah. And there you learned another lesson about happiness.
Yeah. So something we just chatted about earlier was I'm still digesting and synthesizing the kind of trip to Africa because it's so different to here. But the thing I noticed the most was their social interactions and their happiness. And it only struck me being back in Germany and I was back in England two weeks ago where we're all on our smartphones. Okay, it's a secondary interaction, but sitting there miserable on our trains. And in Africa, everybody had time for each other. Time in the West doesn't exist the way it exists in Africa. Everything is slower. Mm-hmm. Everyone will stop and they'll spend time with each other. They will touch each other. They will be tactile. They will smile. And it was amazing to see, particularly the stories we get from the West about Africa, about there's no food, they're all hungry, they're not educated. They couldn't be more different than I expected. Mm-hmm. And this slowing down, spending time with each other, you know, greeting old friends, it was wonderful. Hopefully in the book, you know, these small insights will come through.
Mm.
You know, back to your question, did you think I could do this? No. And, you know, the almost the theme of the book is we can do these things. When things seem so difficult and so dark and so scary, just have some faith and you can do these things. You know, if a guy from Liverpool can do this, anyone can do this.
This is a wonderful last sentence. before I'll have the happiness finder questions for you. Pete, for you, what does it mean to be happy?
Okay. And so again, another complex question, which I in my kind of crazy wisdom, I'll try and give a simple and practical answer. To be happy for me is simple. It means I have more happier days than sad days. I have more happy moments than sad moments. And a kind of a little bit advanced of that is try and react nicely to the bad moments. Try and react well to the people who aren't reacting well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I can do. That's my little bit back.
Thank you. What is responsible for your happiness? What do you think?
So I think we are each responsible for our own happiness. Absolutely. And we shouldn't be responsible for other people's. But I do think, again, we should have the ability, and we can have the ability, and we can create happiness for each other. I think what you do with these podcasts is a great example of this.
Okay, thank you. It is the Happiness Finder podcast. So do you play the lottery?
No, I don't play the lottery. My view is it's a total waste of money. My view only.
What do you think? Does money bring happiness?
No, it doesn't. I think as all your interviews and you and I can say, it doesn't. But money can be an enabler. Money can help us find our ways and can help us experiment.
Okay. Would you please complete the sentence? I am happy because...
I'm happy because it's better than the alternative. Being happy, believe me, is much better than being sad.
That is a really good answer. Thank you very much. If time traveling would be possible and you could travel back in time, is there any advice you could or you would give your younger self?
So this is a great question. So firstly, time travel. I've mastered travel, but not yet mastered time travel. And it's the butterflies and hurricanes question. So, you know, we talked earlier, we are where we are. And so, you know, even the bad times, we've gone through them to get where we are. But if it was to give me any advice, particularly to myself in my, say, 20s and early 30s, would be just to slow down, just to enjoy things, particularly the little things. Stop rushing around.
Okay. Are there any books or podcasts or seminars you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, as a kind of bookworm and now a writer, this could be a long answer. So
I'll set the links on the homepage of the Happiness Finder homepage where we can find your book.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Podcast easy. Your podcast is wonderful. Thank you kindly.
The German one, which
take me days to get through because of my poor German. and now I'm looking forward to Happiness Find in English. Yeah. So thank you doubly. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Tim Ferriss's podcast too. Books. I mean, I started off with science fiction. Orson Scott Card is a tremendous writer. I'd recommend anybody read his stuff. Travel. Well, the greats, Bill Bryson, Paul Theroux are wonderful. The books that inspired me to travel, I would say Michael Palin. There's a guy called Michael Crichton who wrote Jurassic Park, the Emergency Room TV show. He wrote a book called Travels, which still inspires me to this day. I read it probably every second year still to this day.
You read it before you start your journey?
Yeah, always read it. And there's another book called Ghost Rider by Neil Peart about his healing journey. And these books are just moving. I recommend it to anyone. Books to how to live my life. There's probably three I would recommend to your listeners. One is Wayne Dyer's interpretation of the Tao Te Ching. There's a small funny book called Who Moved My Cheese? Which is about change. Recommended. And then finally, I would recommend two negotiation textbooks. That sounds ominous, but they're very small. They are practical ways to negotiate. Is what we do every day in every conversation almost. One book is called Getting to Yes, and the second one is called Getting Past No. And they're wonderful books by Fisher and Urey from Harvard Business School.
Okay. I set the links on the Happiness Finder homepage. The last question. If someone would like to know more about you or to get in contact with you, could you please give us your homepage address?
Sure, I can do. So Wander to Wonder. Which is number two in the middle. So www.wandertowonder.com. And I'd just like to say, Andreas, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure please keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, I will. It was a great experience for me, the first Happiness Finder interview to make in English. I hope the native speaker out there could understand what I've said to Pete. Thank you very much, Pete, and have a nice day and a great week. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Das war der Glückfinder-Podcast. Wenn Ihnen dieser Podcast gefällt, freue ich mich über eine positive Bewertung bei iTunes oder über Ihre Weiterempfehlung dieses Podcasts. Sollten Sie selbst Ihr Glück gefunden haben oder Kontakt zu mir aufnehmen wollen, schreiben Sie mir bitte eine E-Mail an andreas@glückfinder.com. Vielen lieben Dank fürs Zuhören. Ich freue mich auf unser nächstes Wiederhören und wünsche Ihnen bis dahin viel Glück. Ihr Andreas Gregori.